Welcome to the Shoulder Buttons Podcast, featuring Adam, the game machine.
I thought he was just some freak and wouldn't shut up.
Also, co-host Jose, a vicious koala.
Pokemon was the pokey of the man in the street where the guy comes out of his feet and he likes to fall out of his.
Oh yeah, get your asses on that controller, because it starts now!
Hello everybody, welcome to episode 2 of the Shoulder Buttons Podcast. My name's Adam, you can follow me on Twitter at The Game Machine, or on YouTube Transparency Pro. We also have the one and only Jose!
Hey, what's going on, people? You should all know me as Jose, a vicious koala on Twitter, and you can follow me there.
All right, and we have our very first guest.
Yeah!
He is super talented, super awesome, and he is a wild beast man. Please welcome Dan. Go ahead, Dan, and tell us a little bit.
Oh, man.
Sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead.
Don't worry about this old man. Butter is good by that. Anyway, you can it is like Paula Deen will tell you what's up about that. She will lay down the spread for you with that.
Who's that?
And you can, Paula Deen, she's on the Food Network.
Oh, okay.
She's also on all those little. Yeah.
I'll shut up.
Nah, don't worry. And yes, my name is Dan Van Dam. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Van Dam. Also, I am one of the head journalists up on thedailygamepad.com, where I do most of my written articles up on there. I also spread the word of some news feeds as well as other various things on that. Also on YouTube, you can follow me on The Real Agarbon, which is my normal blog channel. You can watch me ramble about Stuttering Craig, apparently. And also, actually, I don't ramble about Stuttering Craig. No beef against that man with the fancy hat. And you can also follow me on Worth Universe HD, where I just sit and chill and play video games all day. Help me, I need a life. But that's pretty much all that there is about me.
I really like your content. You've just got a charm and a personality all your own. I don't know how to really describe it. It's, I don't know. It warms my heart and tickles my tummy at the same time.
Oh my.
That's a little creepy, but anyway. But, so tell us a little bit about, like, what kind of games you're into. Like, what is it that you're into? Maybe, like, how you got your start into gaming and all that fun stuff.
Well, Mother Atari came in and pushed me out of the womb, and I looked at that Mother Atari, and she looked up at me. I looked down at her, she looked up at me, and it felt awkward because I was somehow taller than her when I came out of the womb. But no, I actually started my gaming fiasco was on the Sega Master System, which was the SG-1000 to most other people who want to be technical. Kinda, anyway. So, you know, I was playing that for a while, the Nintendo came into my life, and it just all started off basically and loosely off of console gaming until PC gaming, you know, was essential in our household. We started playing, you know, games on MS-DOS. That's where actually where I learned how to type and spell, and school didn't even teach me any of this, so I was like well read, but by the time I was like 3 or 4 years old, which is kind of ironic because I have a speech impediment of sorts. So, you know, I grew up from there, you know, buying consoles, and you know, as of course they got a little bit older, that's when I decided to buy these consoles because, you know, I'm sort of when it comes to me and video games, I'm very cheap. You know, I'm penny pinching as much as I can. But, you know, that's pretty much how I start my gaming off, was just through, you know, old school, you know, MS-DOS, as well as the classic consoles that you guys all know and love.
What games do you play? Well, I guess we'll get into that in a minute, but, I guess you have a podcast coming now. Anything you can share on that? Any details?
Barbara Walters.
Come on, tell us, Star Jones.
She still got it. Anyway, sorry, wrestling joke there. So I also kind of skipped over your question here, didn't I? Of what kind of
games?
That's
okay. Just punch Chris Brown and get it over with.
Oh no, if I punch Chris Brown, like, you would get like millions of hits on this podcast, and I want to make it steady for you guys, you know. You guys are going to get up there to like millions, but you know, you gotta let it go settle in slowly, like a nice broth. But
you're so noble, wise one.
I'm noble that I am. No. All right, so I'll break into the what games I like. I like adventure games and action games and, you know, games of that nature. So stuff that keeps me moving, kind of stuff. If it's way too slow, I don't follow it too much. Like football games, you have to look at all the damn stats. I go, ugh. But anyway, going into what I'm doing for a podcast is, you know, the Daily Gamecast, which is coming out pretty soon. It's kind of latent at the moment because, you know, we got like all kinds of, you know, elements, and I want to bring up the broth part, is that we're trying to execute it in a very professional manner, where we're trying our best not to, you know, have any loose ends, where we're going to try to have, you know, someone from the Australia side of the world, UK, two guys from the United States, oh, three guys from the United States, and so we're going to be pretty much covering, you know, tech, gaming news, you know, just movies in general that interest us, which it's going to be a little bit of a melting pot of sorts, but just something that's relevant is what we're going to try to stick to. But, you know, it's all based on part of the Daily Gamepads, you know, podcast lineup, where we're going to, you know, keep a nice lineup going and pretty soon, and or as well as invite any newcomers to the podcast scene as well, and let them grow. And if they get big or make it big, you know, they can disconnect their vocal cord from the website and go, "Ah, together we did it!" And, you know, Busta Rhymes be coming in the background and everything, and it'll just be like this big, like, fancy ass music video going on in the background, and
dubstep, you know, going on everywhere.
And Jonathan Davis would be like splashing his like dreadlocks everywhere.
It's a powder mill.
This is a I was singing Metallica there, weren't I?
Yeah. Oh man, but I'm definitely looking forward to the podcast. I know your stuff is really, really great. I mean, I know we've collaborated on stuff before, but I mean, like, I'm seriously, like, I like your content. It's very entertaining, very awesome. And as far as you being a podcast, it just sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'll definitely be listening to it whenever that comes out.
Thank you very much.
But anyway, all right, let's get on to the main segment. Let's get on to the beef and potatoes of everything. Let's just start off with the gaming room. I'll go ahead and I guess, let's see. Who wants to start first? Talk about what you're playing, what you discovered, anything cool you found.
I'll start off first.
Go for it.
Alright, so, over the last week, a little bit over since the last time we had the podcast, I've actually been playing about three or four different games. The first one was The House of the Dead 3, which was finally released on the PSN network on Valentine's Day. And I've been playing that for a good minute, and it's a lot of fun. I don't have a Move, so the controls are really interesting because I'm using the PS3 controller. But it took just a few minutes to get used to the control, and just, it's been a lot of fun just kind of reliving that game again. It's not like a huge improvement over it, but over from what I remember, but you know, it's still a lot of fun to go back and play that game. Then I finally started playing Skylanders. I had a copy of, the starter set for a couple of weeks now, maybe a month now, and it's just been sitting there, and the other day I finally cracked it open and started playing it, and I am enjoying the shit out of that game. That is a really fun game. Like, I can't believe I hadn't played it yet. And it's really cool. Like, the three figures that it comes with already are enough to kind of go through the game. But obviously, if you want to discover a few more things and, do more in the game, you would go out and buy the extra figures, which, I mean, there's about 37 figures in total. So it can cost like a pretty penny if you want to collect all of them. But just to play what's in the box and just to play what it comes with, it's been a lot of fun and it's easy to go through, but if you want to collect like all three stars, it's a little bit of a more difficult challenge, which I like because it definitely adds to being able to go back and replay the game. Just as like all the levels, you can play with whatever Skylander figure you want, but if you want to do better, you like certain figures have advantage in certain levels, so you want to play with them in those areas. So that also adds to being able to replay the game, and I'm having a lot of fun with that game. Like, I can't recommend that game enough. If you don't have it, I definitely recommend you pick it up. And it's not as expensive as it was when it first came out, because it's going at like $50 for the starter pack now. So it's still up there, but it's not as bad. And then there's a sequel coming out later in the year, which should be really cool. And then you can pass over your data from the original game to the sequel, so that's gonna be awesome. And then I finally got my Vita, and I've been playing Little Deviants for it, and it's a bad game. I regret buying it. It's got a couple of little mini games in it, because basically what it is, it's just one big game with a bunch of mini games, so you can kind of get an idea of what the Vita is capable of. But I'm just like, I don't know, I regret paying the $30 for that game. I feel like maybe waiting for it to hit the discount bin at like $5 to $10 is the best option if you ever actually want to get it. But even then, I'd feel a little bit ripped off. Like, there's maybe one or two mini games in there that I'm having fun with. But in general, I'm not happy with this purchase. It's just not enjoying it at all.
We'll talk more about, I guess, Vita is going to be kind of your mini review, I guess, coming up. I'm going to have a handheld myself to review. But yeah. I'm definitely curious to hear your thoughts on Vita. And Little Deviants, I've heard a lot of stuff, people talking that it wasn't as great as they thought it was.
Yeah, I mean, I figured I wanted to get it because, again, it's made specifically for the Vita. And I wanted to see, like, the different ways you could actually play the system or use the system. In that sense, it's given me a good idea of what it will be able to do and what future games will be able to do. But just as a game itself, it's not worth the initial $30 price. It's just not. Maybe if they had sold the minigames separately, I could have maybe justified that, but at the way it is now, I don't think it's worth it all. And it's just, it's not fun at all.
I gotcha. I guess I'll go next. I've just been playing a little bit of everything. I'm just playing different old school games. I've been playing some Super Famicom stuff. I tried to do a live stream. I think I had like one or two people show up. But I played Gundam Wing Needless Duel, one of my favorite Super Famicom fighter games. And probably one of the best on the, probably one of the best 16-bit fighters, at least in my opinion. I'm not just because like I like Gundam or anything, but actually just the way it plays more like a modern fighter. And I think for its time, it still holds up today as far as like how it plays and everything. And I played this one called Go-Go Ackman. It's really kind of a weird game. What it is it's I guess it's based off some manga because it looks like it has like a Dragon Ball art style. And, it's got this like kid, I guess he's like a little demon with a gun and he punches and kicks. He picks up other weapons and stuff in the game, but, it's like a side-scrolling platformer and he fights these like little angel cherub looking things. It's actually kind of a fun platformer even though I don't know what they're saying. I mean, that was kind of fun. I've had that for a while, so I decided to stream on that. As far as console stuff, I'm sorry?
Is this an import game?
Yeah, it is an import. It's a Super Famicom game.
Okay, cool.
Back to the English side of things, I played a little bit of Soul Calibur 5 with a friend, and I made him rage so hard, it was just so fun. Dan knows who I'm talking about. let's see, what else did I play? I mean, I couldn't find anything interesting as far as, like, what to get. I mean, I've been kind of drooling on the Vita, but I don't have any money to really get it right now. I'm just kind of just playing a few things here and there, but really, it's not super interesting at the moment. I just can't really think of anything else I fooled with. Oh, I did try the Rayman demo. The, what is that called? The new Rayman game.
Rayman Origins?
Origins, yeah.
Yeah, how is that? I'm sorry, how is that?
Really? Be honest with you, I really like it. It's pretty good. It's no longer on sale, though. GameStop had it on sale for $20, but I thought if I got a Vita, like, instead of getting Uncharted, because as much as I like Uncharted, I kind of just got done playing Uncharted 3, like, a few months ago. I'm just kind of not ready for it yet. So I figured that might be one of the first purchases if I get a Vita, because, I mean, that game just looks super fun. I love 2D platformers, almost as much as I do the fighters. And I just figured that would be such a great game. And I played the demo, and it's quite fun. It's actually well made. Graphics are I just could not believe it. Like, you can see videos on these kind of games, but you never really know until you actually play it on your TV. And it just looks great. Great animation.
I've heard things about that game, too. And I've been, every time the sale, because that sale, that $20 sale, has come up a few times, like at Toys R Us, GameStop, I think Target even. And every time I see it, I always think, I mean, I should pick it up now, and I always forget. And I'm actually kind of glad I didn't pick it up now, because I do want to get it on my Vita, but it does look like a fun game, and I haven't heard one bad thing about it yet, actually.
Yeah, I'd definitely say at least try the demo first, but if you like 2D platformers, and I've never played a Rayman game, so to me, it was really quite fun, and I kind of wish I had played those games when I'm younger. But, yeah, I guess that's really all for me. Dan, tell us, what have you been into?
Well, whips and chains and all kind of, oh, wait a minute. wrong subject. No. I don't know. I was kind of looking at the Vita as, you know, most of the games are kind of, you know, republishings of the previous, you know, franchises already just to have like a nice lineup. I think this was, you know, last minute thing by Sony. And I would honestly say I was going to consider getting the Vita until I saw, like, well, Origins, you know, it looks good. I'll wait till that goes down in price. And, I mean, it looks very good. I tried out the demo, and it is good to a degree. And, you know, it obviously holds up to the standard of how Rayman was originally on the PlayStation 1 as well as the PC. I mean, what I've been playing mostly as well is games such as Cybernator, which is for the Super Nintendo. It's a side-scrolling platformer. And what it is, it's kind of like a mecha-style game. And when you look at the case at first, you don't really think it's anything special. Then you pop the game in, and it actually has like an ongoing storyline as you're playing the game. And it's just really, it really throws you back because you're like, whoa, wait a minute. And of course you obviously see Konami at the top right of the cartridge. And you're just like, oh, no shit. So you play it in there and you're like, oh, this is good. You know, and it has like storyline going consistently. It just keeps you going and it has a nice challenge curve to it. So if you feel like it's getting too easy, it just reminds you you're playing in a Konami game. Because, you know, Konami games, every once in a while, they'll throw, like, something at your toes, like a nice hard coal, and you're like, hey, ooh, catch. You're like, okay. So, past that, I've been also playing some Mystery Dungeon on the Nintendo DS. It's a good game. It's like an overhead-style dungeon crawler of sorts, where the dungeons randomly generate. And what happens is, you know, you're either stuck in a situation when you first start the dungeons out where it's really hard. Enemies just pop out of every location and you don't have no weapon, no shield to start off with, so you're using your fists until you find like a spear or a shield of sorts to defend yourself. Also boost up your defense. And overall, I gotta say it's a pretty good game. You know, I enjoyed it when I tried it out on my DS. And, I gotta say, you know, I was not disappointed fully playing the game. I mean, past that, I've been playing the DS, some Xbox 360, as well as, you know, the PSP, because I've been popping in some Bancho, which is for the PSP downloadable, or digital download only, I believe. I'm not sure if it ever came on a hard format. But, yeah, it's practically all I've been playing, per se, so.
There's one thing that I wanted to mention. I guess some kind of little mini game news that I kind of wanted to mention I didn't get to mention earlier. I'm just really excited. Like, it seems like our last podcast, Jose, remember we were talking about, like, kind of like smaller gaming companies and kind of how the cool stuff they've been doing.
Yeah.
This past week has been kind of that. Like, of course, I've been looking, I love Persona 4, and the fighting game was announced by Atlus. Also,
yeah, that's really cool. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited. It's done by the, BlazBlue Guilty Gear team, so it's definitely going to be pretty interesting. From what I heard, it's going to have some interesting mechanics in it. Also, Xseed is going to be publishing The Last Story here in North America, so congrats to the Operation Rainfall guys. It was the one I was looking forward to. I'm definitely going to be looking into getting that one, but I don't know. I just kind of want to bring
this yesterday, right?
Yeah, that was announced yesterday. I believe it was like in a Nintendo video Nintendo put out on YouTube talking about all their products and stuff, and then they mentioned that at the end. So it looks like Xseed is going to be handling the localization part. And
I'm surprised about that, though. Like, I'm surprised they're sending over the localization to Xseed instead of just keeping it in-house.
That is pretty interesting. Maybe they just figured that, I think what it is, at least here's my thoughts on it, is that others out there are seeing the potential of these games. Now, no, these aren't going to be, like, you know, the size of a Mass Effect or Call of Duty of sales-wise, but these other companies, like, I think, like, where GameStop, I guess, kind of try to get Nintendo of America to try to put this out here, you know, by kind of making their exclusive in their store. This is my opinion, anyways. And I think Xseed trying to convince Nintendo that, you know, hey, there's a market for this. Let us help you do it. If you guys don't want to fool with it, let us, you know, maybe buy some rights to publish it, at least, you know. I mean, most of the translation, of course, is already going to be done since Europe's doing, you know, all the heavy work, at least voice acting. You know, they might have to change a few words here and there to make it, you know, more, I guess, North American English, but, you know, I mean, I think that's probably why, that's my guess on it. I don't know. What do you think, Dan? Why do you think that maybe XE got to do this? Because usually, like, you know, I mean, what do you think about it?
Well, XE generally, when it comes to workloads, usually XE is either the people most companies like Nintendo or Sony, especially Sony because of PSP, you know, they're just notorious for a lot of JRPGs. They look at XE as, you know, that third party as well as that publisher that they know is going to get the job done. Whether it's successful or not, they get the job done within a timely basis. And they usually do a very good job of most of the publishings. So, I mean, for Nintendo to trust, put the effort on the shoulders of this company, that's a good thing. Because XE is not a undependable company. They are a very dependable company when it comes to it, so. That's where I can see Nintendo coming to these guys and going, hey, you did a good job with these other games. Why don't you come over here and lower down that little shoulder strap there and let's get comfortable, you know, that type of thing. So, you know, they're going to start mating, and before we know it, we're going to have ourselves a good old-fashioned slobber knocker of a good game coming soon, hopefully. At least localized, cough, cough.
Yeah, I've even heard the thing is going to have multiplayer Switch. I'm kind of curious about, like, how that's going to work. So...
Any JRPG fans, the nipples will be erect this day.
Oh, mine are. I mean, I kept rubbing them ever since I've heard the announcement.
I'm sure they've been hard since it was announced.
Yeah, I mean, I've been walking around with an erection all day. I mean, it's just... This is what we're about. We're about talking... Excuse me. After I found out this news, I had to run into a broom closet.
No. You took the broom out of the closet, you know?
It looked like my favorite JRPG girl or guy, so I just, like, went in there and was like, oh. Had white hair. No. But no, I just wanted to bring that up because, you know, we talked about that last week, and I just now thought about it, and it's just, like, I kind of like more of these kind of games more than I do some of the bigger hitters out there, personally. Like I said, I know they're not going to be big sellers, but it is good to see that they realize that, you know, they can make something off of it. And I think maybe Nintendo was like, yeah, let's not work on it ourselves. Let's just pass it on to somebody else. And, of course, their workload's not going to be too much, too terrible, considering that Europe's doing most of the heavy work, so.
Europe is a good band, might I add. So when I look at it like this, you know, you got Nintendo, and let's look at it like this. Nintendo has soon realized that fan service sells. Even if they were to publish, you know, only like a few thousand of the game, it would go up in price, and they can order these copies as much as they want, as well as the fat cats up on eBay, but like, yes. So, therefore, all those units would sell, and that'd make Nintendo very happy. Henceforth, making XSEED the kings of fan service and bouncy boobs. And as well as Ichi stuff, but we won't get into that.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just excited for it. That's all I can say. Excuse me, I need to go back in that broom closet. Anyway, no. I guess let's move on. Let's go ahead to our next segment. Let's go ahead and talk about our mini reviews. Okay, so, I don't know, Dan, if you have prepared one or not, but,
I can pull one out of my ass, lol.
Okay, well, we'll go ahead and put you on the spot then. Go ahead.
Alright, so, Front Mission Evolved. Now, I was playing this game on the PlayStation 3. Now, by far, this is not the greatest game ever pushed out of Square Enix, by no means. However, while playing it, I soon realized this is not a bad game as everyone mentioned it to be. While I was studying, you know, the chloroform that was going down my throat, I soon realized, you know, I was not poisoning myself here. I was simply just inhaling some sort of toxic chemical. And while at first it was this toxinate chemical, which was Front Mission Evolved, when I first playing it, it was terrible. It didn't feel very good. You know, it just felt like a very sloppy third-person mech game. Then I started getting more into it. I started opening up more. And then my eyes became crystal clear, and I'm also very apparent that I was not dealing with a bad egg in this batch. It was just simply misunderstood. It was like a Carrie Clarkson of the video game market, where you're not always going to enjoy this style of music. That bitch ain't bad at singing. So, long story short, you know...
It's like Chris Brown, right? Just misunderstood.
No, he ain't misunderstood. He's just an asshole. Okay. But
so you're saying Front Mission is an asshole, or am I just getting my analogies wrong?
Well, no, it's not a bastard child. It's just a child that needs more education. Now, the concept of Front Mission was a fantastic idea. You know, it kind of brought back that MechAssault style of gameplay to the multiplayer scene. At the same time, it's a ghost town online. So if you think that, as soon as you're mentioning multiplayer online, you know, team deathmatch kind of stuff was going to happen in your future with this game, you're going to be very disappointed and you're going to throw your tassels off your nipples and feel, you know, distraught because of the fact you weren't going to have yourself a stage show with this game. But in closing, it's not a bad game. It's worth the bargain bin price that it is now. So if you're into mechanist-style games, you know, you want to give these type of games a chance, I would highly, plausibly recommend it.
I've heard things about it. When I went to E3 in 2010, I got to try it out a little bit. I couldn't get into it too much. I've never played a lot of mech games, but I don't know, it just didn't hold my interest for very long. I've heard some people like, they kind of like it, and some people kind of don't. So. Anyway, moving on. I guess we'll go ahead and talk about the thing that's all the hotness right now. And that is, of course, the, Retro Duo Portable. I'll just go ahead and do mine. Of course, mine isn't the most talked about handheld right now. But, so I've got this thing. I really wanted a Superboy, because I just, for some reason, I want to be able to play Super Nintendo games on the couch, just relax or chill. I went to this local game shop, saw it there on the shelf, you know, plays NES and stuff, and I've saw a video on it before. Some dude called Das Cheap or whatever his name is, you know. He has a store. He sells things. He was just talking about it, and I was like, well, that might be interesting. So I saw it in there, I decided to plop down the $80 for it, give it a shot, and I want to love this more because it like has so many good features. Like there's so much good in it, but it has just few flaws, and those flaws are what are fatal to me. And I'll just go ahead and talk about what I liked about it. Well, it doesn't look bad. You can get it in black or red. I got black. And it looks nice. The buttons, you know, the A, B, X, and Y are colorful. You know, it's got two little triggers at the top and it feels comfortable. You can play, American games. You can also play Super Famicom games. I probably wouldn't recommend PAL games because it's made more for NTSC style stuff. So if you live in Europe and you're considering it, just know it may not work with some of those games. But I have tested some games and I do have a video review, but some of them I couldn't get the cartridges to work again. I got them to work once, but I couldn't get them to work again. Like Super Mario RPG, like I got it in the system once, cleaned the hell out of it. The cartridge was a little dirty, but I got to work just fine, and that was one of the games that a lot of people mentioned troubles with. I got Star Fox to work. It had some kind of weird sound issues. The speakers are kind of cheap on it. Usually they kind of are, but I mean, like, sometimes, like, if it got real loud, like, it would start cracking and stuff, the noise would in any game. But with Star Fox, it had some weird screeching noises come out of it, and I didn't understand. I thought it was, like, something, some kind of, like, weird hissing noise you would hear in a movie where, like, everybody grabs their ears and they start screaming, "Ah!" You know, sometimes you hear something like that.
Kind of like death metal on, really bad death metal at least.
Yeah. Something like that, but more screech metal, I guess. If there's such a... I can't do it.
There's a metal everything. There's some weird mix of, like, country and metal that's just kind of interesting.
It's called Southern Rock.
No. Like, not even as a joke. Like, it's, like, some kind of death metal with country in it. It's a trip.
Sounds interesting.
Twang,
I'm gonna get in my pickup truck. Gonna get down, get the lonely hearts.
But anyways, enough of my drunkenness, drunken metalness.
Jackson metal.
What's that?
Michael Jackson metal.
Oh, Billie Jean, not my lover. Wow.
We could do this all day if we wanted, but we must keep the show going forward. Anyway, the screen is kind of nice. I don't know exact size of it, but it's pretty decent size, I would say, for what it is. The battery life is freaking incredible on this thing. Compared to like stuff like the Superboy, which I heard is like about 2.5 hours, this thing like does 8 to 10. I only charged it up once, and I'm telling you, I never, ever have recharged it yet, as much as I've been playing it. And, The other cool thing is it comes with two really freaking awesome controllers. Like, you can plug two controllers to it, so you can play two-player games. It's also got, of course, TV cables to hook it up to your television, so It comes with an adapter so you can play NES games on it and stuff, and that works just fine. You have to use the A and B buttons, of course, to use the NES ones. You can't use, like, Y and B. But my issues with the thing is that the D-pad sucks on the actual unit, and the controllers that it comes with, the D-pad is, like, a pretty freaking good D-pad. Like, I would say it's better than the Super Nintendo D-pad on the original Super Nintendo controller. Like, I enjoyed using that thing so much. Another issue that I have, and this is the fatal flaw, this is the thing that really kills me. I was playing a game, and I discovered this. I was playing Mega Man X. And when I got to the, I don't know how familiar you guys are with it, but, like, the very first intro stage, where you get to this, like, helicopter boss, like, mini-boss, and he comes up, what happens is if you're holding the charge button, or if you start to charge, instead of charging, like, for some reason, when you hold the button down, he starts to kind of rapid-fire a little bit. And he might charge the shot just a little bit, then he'll auto-fire. It's really weird. I also tried a Super Game Boy game on it as well, Super Mario Land. And in that one, I think, like, for some reason, like, you have to hold the button down, like, to jump higher. Like, you hold down the A button to jump higher. And I was doing that, but sometimes he would sporadically jump. Sometimes it looked like as if, like, I had a turbo controller. And he was kind of, like, hopping in place a little bit. It was really weird. It just... It to me, that was, like, a huge flaw. But you would not have this problem if you hooked it up to a controller. The only reason, like, if you want a Nintendo, like, a Super Nintendo system to play Super Nintendo games on your TV, I would just recommend getting the Super Nintendo. Because this thing, to be honest with you, as far as it being a portable device, it... Just that one... That issue, on top of, like... Like I said, you know, the buttons not being the best in the world. Like, to me, that is a big, big flaw. I mean, like, if you cannot play your games because the controls are messing up, that's a big issue. I mean, with anything. That'd be like having a remote that has, like, bright, colorful buttons. You know, you can see everything. But if the buttons don't work half the time, are you going to really use it? So, to be honest with you, I'm just going to say pass for now. I know these things get better with each iteration. But for now, I just say skip on it. It's not worth it.
It's interesting that you mentioned the Superboy. Because I feel comfortable saying this because my friend no longer works there. But when it was first in development, I had a friend that was working with that company. And I got a chance to try out one of the beta models that came out maybe like last year. Or like back in September or August or around that time. And, you know, you mentioned that the battery life is kind of sucks. That's like 2.5 hours. Somewhere along the actual development for the console, they actually switched out manufacturers to someone else to have them do the batteries. So the original battery for it was actually really good because I think it lasted a good while. But when I played it, I had a lot of fun with it, but I haven't played it since it officially came out.
Too bad your friend doesn't work there. I could have him hook me up.
Yeah, he left that company a while ago and, I remember he brought up the battery thing to me, and I thought it was really weird that they would switch it out. I guess it was mostly to cut down on the cost.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the thing is like $80, and if you really, the only reason to get it is if you want that portability. Otherwise, you can get a console for like $40-$45.
Right.
Like, I know people are always saying, oh, they're like $70 or $100, but that's just someone ripping you off. Like, you can get a console that still works, professionally cleaned, for like $40 or $45 at most. And you don't, like, if the portability isn't the biggest reason you're getting it, you just get it because you want to play the games, you're better off just getting the original console anyway.
Exactly. Well, I guess we'll go ahead and talk about this handheld that nobody really cares about, this Vita thing.
I don't even know why I picked it up. I just, like, you know, I just saw it, I was like, whatever.
Yeah, man, it's like $1 or something like that.
Yeah.
Something like, it was on the discount bin, so, you know, whatever. Actually...
Japanese are just...
I ended up trading for it. Like, I traded something I bought months ago. Almost. I found an iPad on Craigslist a few weeks ago for, like, $200. So, I was bored back last Wednesday, and I was like, you know, I know people are already getting their Vitas. Maybe someone want to trade it for a first-gen iPad. And I didn't think anyone would actually go for it, but lo and behold, a couple of days later, I get a message from a guy who was willing to trade a 3G version for it. And since I didn't lose any money on it. I practically gained money on it. So I just went ahead and did it, and I picked it up, and I've been playing it nonstop, even with the crappy game that I bought, and I'm enjoying the Vita console itself. It's got a 5-inch screen, It's an amazing screen. Like, the actual quality of the screen is beautiful. Like, that, the graphics look amazing. It's got a touchpad on the back, which, when I first heard about it, I was really excited about it, but now that I've actually gotten a chance to, like, try it out in a game, I'm confused as to why it's even there, because you could have just had the actual touchpad on the front screen. Like, there is a touchpad on the actual front screen, but you didn't need to have a back touchpad too, you know? It's got two joysticks, two D-pads, two shoulder buttons, it almost looks like a PSP, except maybe just a little bit bigger, but, I mean, it's even thinner than the PSP from what I remember. But I'm loving the system itself. I haven't given a chance to try out the actual 3G function yet, because I haven't been wanting to sign up with AT&T, but I might as well just do it for 1 month, just to kind of give it
Don't trust AT&T. They will
screw
you. Don't
trust the devil. Don't run away. Run away.
Well, the thing is, if you buy like 1 month, they'll give you a month for free because it's like the launch pad, the launch version. And on top of that, you get Super Stardust HD, which is $15. So I was like, might as well try it. I'm still iffy about that. But as far as like, again, as far as the console goes, I love it. I love the little menu system the way it is now. I transferred music earlier today, and I used the content manager on my PC, and it was a beautiful integration. Like, I had no problems just picking the music I wanted to transfer and transferring it over. So that was great. The only, obviously a big downside is the proprietary memory card that Sony wants you to get. It's still like super expensive. If you get like a 32 gig, it's like $100, whereas opposed to a 32 gig SD card is like $30. So that's where Sony's making their money on this. But other than that, like, it comes with like a welcome pack, which is a few little mini games you can try out already. And those are a lot of fun. Like, you get to test out the cameras, the front and back cameras, which are not that great of cameras. Like, your phone has a much better quality camera than what the Vita has. But it's neat to be able to have a camera in it. And, does anyone else have a 3DS? Like, I don't, but my friend has it. I play it all the time. There's a game where it uses like the camera to look around and you shoot things that are like flying around. There's a similar game to that, that comes like preloaded into the Vita, and that's a lot of fun to play. Like I said, I haven't tried out the 3G on it. The Wi-Fi is always working great. I like it. I'm really happy for it. I can't wait to see what games are going to come out. Again, like I said, Little Deviants is just, gives you an idea of what the PSP, what the Vita will be able to do. And I'm kind of excited to see what other games are going to come out in the future for it. The launch titles, they're not all that great. I mean, there's about 27 different launch titles, which is good, but like it was mentioned earlier, a lot of them are just kind of ports. Like, BlazBlue's a port. There's just very few actual, like, games designed for the Vita that are out right now, but it's still got, like, a good launch titles. You can even download 280-something PSP games that are already compatible with the Vita to play. And, you know, I that's one of the reasons I got it, because I saw Monster Hunter was one of the games available, and I was like, oh, here's my chance to finally play Monster Hunter, because I haven't played it since I played Monster Hunter 1. So I saw that, and I was like, oh, here's my chance to finally play again, so might as well pick it up to even try that. But I'm loving the console. Even at the price at $249 for the 3G, I'm sorry, for the Wi-Fi only, I think it's worth it just because of what it's able to do. If you're iffy on it, I would probably wait till a few more games come out. Otherwise, though, I definitely recommend getting it, because I love it. The battery is really good on it. Like, I have no complaints on it. Even playing it nonstop, I charge it at night. When I take it to work, and I play it at work when I get a chance, when I'm on lunch. I'm taking the metro right now back home, and I play it when I get a chance there. And the battery lasts me a good amount of time, so no complaints from me on that at all.
I was going to ask you, do you know if PlayStation 1 games work on it? I've heard some people say they work for sure, like the PS1 classics.
Any PlayStation 1 game that's actually compatible with it, and I really hope that Sony gets on that immediately, because I remember with the PSP, they waited years before you could play like PS1 games on it, and I think that if I can play PS1 games, I will be buying a lot more content from the PlayStation.
That's what I was wondering, because I have a lot that works fine on the PSP, so I don't see why they couldn't just make it work for the Vita.
Yeah, and I'm sure, I don't think there's anything holding them back, but they're probably just waiting to get, like, to wait past the launch and then do it. Like, again, I'm not certain if it can, because I haven't tried it. But if it is available, I can guarantee you all we'll be buying a lot more content.
That really disappoints me that that's not available, because there's a lot of ones that, like, I have on my PSP right now, and if I get a Vita, I mean, I don't want to have to go to my PSP to play them. You know, because...
Get to a point where, like, all the PS1 games and all the PSP games that are available to download will be compatible with the Vita. I know they have to do a few things to make it compatible. But I'm sure it'll get to a point where that'll all be available, and that's going to be amazing. Like, I can get, like, I know I'm going to be throwing a lot of money down on this, but I love it. I recommend it highly.
Cool.
Dan, what are your thoughts on the Vita? Do you think you'll pick one up eventually, or do you think it's just not for you?
Well, I'm looking at the PlayStation Vita. I mean, what they're trying to do is apply this sleek, nice-looking interface to the device, and while I don't disagree with that, I don't disagree with the concept, which is the back of the touch sensitivity on the back of that, you know, because they're trying to compensate for size. They wanted to put two bumpers originally, and they thought about it, and they're like, ugh. And then some guy says, look what Nintendo's doing. So he looked over at Nintendo. Touchscreen, of course. So they rubbed each other's nipples, victory. They went to lunch, came back. Slap together, we'll add a touch-sensitive interface.
Wait. Sorry, I hate to interrupt, but are you saying people copy off Nintendo?
No.
No, I can't believe that, ever.
No.
I mean, shit, look, that move? I mean, Nintendo totally copied the move. I mean,
Yeah, definitely.
But no.
I had to do that.
Seriously, when I look at the move, I think of a clitoris stimulator and a butt plug. But
yes,
that's just
yes.
Me.
First thing when I saw the image of that, that's exactly what I was saying. I was just like, you know what? This will get your girlfriend to play the PlayStation move. But, you know, not
the
PS3
has video games.
Yeah.
But it has plenty of sexual stimulation. But,
and
no,
it glows.
It glows, you don't lose it in the dark. Oh, shit, where'd it go? Where'd it go? Oh, there it is. Oh, it's 6-axis. Oh.
Well, if they only had indie games for PlayStation, that would be one of them.
360 has a couple. What? Anyway, yeah, those games aren't very good. Trust me, I didn't get off once. What? Anyway, no. The PlayStation Vita, you know, they have this cool app. They put the 6-axis inside the console as well. So, you know, when you move the handheld, it kind of moves around the game. It's similar with the 3DS. So, I mean, again, you know, comparison and trial. I mean, in the long run, I mean, most of the games, again, are rehashes of the major consoles. I mean, a $249 to me, I know I paid my $249 and my dues for the 3DS, but I'm going to hold off a bit until it drops down in price, because I know Sony's going to panic because it isn't going to sell totally right off the bat. And yes, they'll lose a little bit of money, but at the same time, they really won't, because it only costs them like around $100 to actually make the unit, and that's kind of funny. So, I mean, again, I'm waiting till I see better games and the price is more reasonable. I mean, let's face it, the economy is not that great unless you have a really good paying job. You know, the economy is like smoke and mirrors. And you know, just to hold on a job and be able to, you know, live is a one thing or another. And I'm looking at the PS Vita, and it's just, it looks cool. I like the idea. The interface looks fantastic. I saw, you know, demonstrations of it in 1080p on a monitor somewhere. And I look, you can actually see the crispness of the screen from the camera, which I was surprised at first. I was like, damn, that looks good. And I'm just thinking, if it looks that good from a 1080p, like, recording camera, think of how it would look in person, you know, and it could not probably be described. But, you know, for me, you know, I got a PlayStation, a PSP, I got a PS3, I got a Wii, you know, I got a 3DS and a 360. So for now, I'm going to wait a little while until I actually, you know, have money, period, to actually afford it. Because, you know, a lot of people who are demographically interested in this handheld, you know, are struggling right now. I mean, a lot of them are looking for jobs, and if they buy this, it's just like, well, I mean, some people are trying to put bread on the table, but they buy it anyway, and it's just like, and they go, I got no money, and it's like, let's sell the PS Vita. No, it emits warmth. I don't got a heater in my bedroom, so now I got the PS Vita. Exactly, 6-axis all the way. But no, actually, 6-axis though. Yeah, well, actually, doesn't have a rumble feature, does it?
No,
it doesn't have a rumble feature.
Unless you attach the Pokemon Rumble attachment to it.
Then that might work.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, on top of that, I was looking at the memory cards for it. It's like, Jesus, tapped H&H Christ with 33 gigabytes. It's like $100, $120, $200. I'm like, fuck. I'd rather touch.
Sorry, go ahead. There's a really wrong way with doing the proprietary memory card for that. And charging so much for it, too, is just kind of ridiculous. I think they could have easily used, like, a micro SD, and that would have been awesome. But here we are.
Or they could have stuck with the memory card they already had.
Oh yeah, the memory card that they were using from the Duo. From the Duo stick. Well, not necessarily that one, because it doesn't have, you know, because they're trying to make it so that way the speed capacity matches the games, because most of these games, you know, obviously will surpass the consistency of the Magic Gate.
Gotcha.
And what they're trying to do with that is they're trying to, you know, get it updated 3.0. I think it's like 4.0. I can't fucking remember. I'm having brain farts. But anyway, this explosive diarrhea in my brain was telling me that, you know, the cards are much more quicker than, you know, the standard, you know, Magic Gate ones that they have there, those little tiny ones. I mean, they could have gone with the PlayStation Portable Go's memory card and, you know, that casing and, you know, obviously put like a 33 gigabyte inch, you know, it would have been much cheaper.
Or has an internal memory.
Yeah, it actually have, you know, a hard drive in the damn thing. And I mean, if they have really a concern about piracy, then maybe they should stop developing consoles and games and movies and all this other stuff. But I mean, I wouldn't even give a shit if they put some sort of little device, like a little program running in the background that doesn't really, you know, take any space up or, you know, any of my memory, and actually make it so that way it's monitoring what I'm downloading, what I have on the device. I mean, as long as I don't have my porn and my penis on there or, you know, some illegal music, I think I'm fine, you know? It's the fact that, you know, they should just do this, and if the consumer don't like it that much, don't buy the product. I mean, that's really what they should do. And if they catch a person red-handed, it's that person's own damn fault. And this excuse about, well, it's my device, I paid the money for it. Well, here's the thing. Yes, you're paying to lease and own a device. Absolutely. That device is yours. However, when you're stealing other people's intellectual property, that doesn't make you any more justified for doing so. I mean, if you're trying to play a Genesis game on the damn thing, you know, I don't see no necessarily a problem with that. You know, those things are old as hell now. But, you know, if you're trying to, like, bootleg games on it and think that's right, that's just acidine. I don't believe in that being plausible and true. It's the fact that you own the device makes you in the right. You buying the content and having rights to play it, and as well as, you know, keep it and distribute it towards your inner self. For example, you know, making a copy for yourself somehow and keeping it in your household, not giving it to anybody else, keeping it for a backup. That's cool. That's fine. I don't see absolutely zero problem. Hell, most distributors of property, such as, you know, digital, does not care if you do that for yourself. So that way you have a backup just in case something goes sour or self. But again, I'm looking at the Vita as, you know, it's an etchy kind of thing. Like, I'm kind of like, it's way too much money for me right now to afford, and it does not look good to me to, you know, invest that much money into it right now. But I'm repeating myself dozens of times, I know. So I'm just going to say, you know, it looks cool. I ain't going to put it down. I think it looks fantastic. I'll get it later on, but right now I can't afford it.
Yeah, I'm definitely want to get one a little bit later on. There's some stuff I want to kind of get, even though some of it's kind of remakes of stuff. Just the idea of having some of these things on the go just kind of interests me. But anyways, moving on, since we are talking about handhelds, let's talk about the future of handhelds. There's a lot of people out there that are saying that iPads and all these other little devices are going to kill and rape the handhelds. This is going to be the last handheld generation. People like me think that I like buttons. So let's talk about it. Where do you think handhelds are going?
I don't think that this is the last generation of handhelds, simply because when you look at mobile gaming and the way it is now with like smartphones and iPads, the biggest games are always the ones that you can just kind of pick up, play for a couple minutes, and drop. You know, like Angry Birds, Temple Run, stuff like that. Just something you can just start playing and then drop in and pick it up later. There's obviously there's a lot of other games too that have a long storyline, like RPGs that you can play on it. But for the most part, the biggest ones and the ones that sell the most and the ones that are the most popular are the ones that you can go through like a 5 minute play session and that's it, and you can move on. So I don't think that this is the last generation for actual handheld games, for like handheld consoles, like a DS or the Vita, but there should be a way to try and integrate that type of games into the current market as well for consoles, just because it'll kind of encourage people to pick it up as well. Because again, yeah, the biggest thing is smartphones, and everyone has a smartphone. iPads and tablets are becoming so popular now. People are saying, oh, well, that's it. No one wants to pay to have a DS and then have to buy games for it for like 20 or 25 bucks. And I think people are wrong there, because I would pay that money to buy a game that I could have, that I could have a lot of fun with, and not just have like pick up and play for 5 minutes and drop and then pick up again, you know?
Yeah, I mean, with me, with the handheld market, especially when it comes to like cell phones and all that, I don't see the handheld market ever dying out. As long as they're innovators, and, you know, the game industry as well as the cell phone companies, these guys think of all kinds of crazy ways to make you spend your money. I mean, you already have your soul in their back pocket, you know, and they might as well put it in their breast pocket pretty soon. But, you know, yeah, like he was mentioning before, brief intake is, you know, Angry Birds. You know, that's a free application, and most devices as well as most carriers give it to you for free. So as long as you get these freebies, these really affordable games, cheap, quick pickup things, these are going to keep the market alive. While Nintendo might backpedal a little bit with the core console gaming stuff, they might actually move on to a cell phone, which is always a rumor, speculation more than anything else, because knowing Nintendo, they're kind of like, no, we're Japanese, we're holding to our ground, fuck you, kind of thing. But and
fuck you, sir. No, dishonor. No.
And you know, I don't see Nintendo backing down from the market, because if they know they can keep their hands in the market, they're gonna do it. And if they know they can attract consumers through certain interesting ways, they're gonna do it too. As well as their very, very, very sneaky ways of making you buy their products. So if they think that attaching a phone to the Nintendo Game Boy Penis Edition, they're going to do it. You're going to buy that phone because you know it's Nintendo. You know how Nintendo is, simplistic, right to the point. They just give you a core gameplay. You enjoy it for several hours, and you put down the game. You go, that was a good fucking game. I'm going to go jack off to it. That's how good it was. And then you tell your friends, come over here and jack off my game. And they're like, all right, let's go jack off. So then after a while, they're like, oh, yeah, and it was a big old circle jerk of gameplay going on. And then
Ocarina of Time. What kind of game is you playing that you're just like, hey, guys, let's have a circle jerk.
That's Kaplan, of course. It's Kaplan, of course. But, you know, that's just how it is. I mean, most of these companies like Sony and, I mean, heck, Sony even developed a phone, I can't pronounce it. Looks like a PSP Go, but you know.
I know what you're talking about.
I know what you're talking about. The name's not coming to mind though.
Ericsson, you just said it. but yeah, that one right there. I mean, Sony pretty much has it hands down when it comes to electronics. They're very dominant. While they might fail in the future for consoles, because let's face it, sooner or later Sony's gonna find out, you know, they're gonna come to their limitations, and, you know, money's become way too much of a burden for most consumers to buy all these damn handhelds, because by the time they upgraded all these super high-tech devices, the next handheld, who knows, could cost like $800, and who the hell's gonna pay $800 for a fucking handheld? I mean, some people pay this for, like, iPads, or tampon pads, or Zantac pads, or little glass file pads, and, you know, my period is not coming up anytime soon, so why the hell do I need a pad, you know? It's fact, yeah. For the circle jerk, of course, I wipe up the best after. It's like a quicker pecker upper. But, it's the fact that I can't
get over the circle jerk.
I'm just picturing Mr. Clean coming in and zipping down his pants now. It's going downhill.
The Trojan yeah. Man's like, can I watch?
Hey, guy.
What's the drawing in?
Just hey, guys.
Sitting in a corner with, like, a bottle of brandy or something.
Yeah. And then the freaking Stay Puft Marshmallow Man's or could I help? You know, and Mr. Clean goes, I clean up everything and everything that's in it, and some freaking, and I just come around zipping my pants on, go, here, clean this up, and it just turned totally wrong from there, because the imaginary minds that are listening to this podcast, like, no!
This is going to be the Xbox Live indie game soon, everybody. Just know.
And yeah, and he has like some person jump into like a tub of like bleach after because they just want to disinfect themselves as bad as they listen to like, oh god, who the hell is this guy? He's so raunchy. No. No. We're talking about handhelds not holding their dicks. God, stop it. No. Ugh. But, I digress. And I just gotta say that the handheld market is gonna end with circle jerks. That's pretty much it.
My whole thoughts on the thing is, I kind of look at it like this, and not to take a shot, this is not a shot or an attack on PC gaming at all, but when people buy a PC, what do they mainly buy it for? They don't mainly buy it for games. They mainly buy it to use for all kinds of other stuff. When people buy an iPad, do they go out and say, hey, I'm going to go buy an iPad just so I can play Angry Birds? No, they usually go out and buy an iPad because they want to read books or surf the web or, you know, whatever it is they bought it for. It's just kind of a side thing. Where handhelds and consoles, even though they got all these gizmos and features and stuff, I don't know anybody who goes out there and be like, you know what, I want to buy Xbox just to watch Netflix, or I want to buy a Vita just to circle jerk. I just think that handhelds are going to have their place. And then, of course, the iPad games and all these other, like, mobile devices are going to have their thing. And, like, those people that are more casual about games, they're going to go to that. That's where they're going to flood to. And I think that the handheld market's not going to be as big as it was back when Game Boy was the king. And, you know, even the DS as of recent, the original DS was pretty popular when they tried to kind of get the regular people into it. Yeah, I just think that it's still going to be there. It's still going to be a thing. But it's not going to be the same as, you know, like it was way back in the day. It's going to be more focused on, like, okay, you know, oh, well, she wants to do recipes and all this other stuff. Well, she, and play Angry Birds, well, she, of course, she's going to go to the tablet. You know, she's not going to go pick up a Vita, you know, just to Twitter or anything like that. Like, that, to me, that's kind of side stuff. Like, you know.
Interrupt my tweet.
What's that?
She's gonna go on there and just rub her tweet.
Rub her tweet. Tweet or jerk. Jerk a tweet.
Oh, that's such a dirty joke. I bet you a couple people got to listen to this going, oh, Jesus Christ, I see what he did there. Oh.
Yeah, not only are we racist, we're also very sexist. Yeah, we are very horrible people and we should die and burn in the fire.
I am so insensitive.
Thanks for asking. But I don't know. What do you guys think of that thought? Do you think that that's what's going to, it's going to become? It's just going to become, you know, the gamers are going to focus more on those, and yeah. The casuals are going to
purposely avoiding using like the term that I'm thinking. But someone brought it up earlier, and I think they're right. Where they said, you know, at least for portable gaming and handheld gaming, there's always going to be that hardcore gamer market, and I hate to use the term, but I think that's where the actual portable gaming will go as far as like actual systems. Because you're completely right. Someone who just wants to play games casually, they're going to go towards an iPad or some kind of tablet or their phone. Because let's face it, any smartphone that's sold out there now can handle those little casual games that everyone wants. But when it comes to an RPG or something that'll last longer, people that want to play those games are going to gravitate towards systems. I've known a guy who hasn't gamed in years and picked up a 3DS, and although he's enjoying it, he can't get past the 3D aspect because it seems like it's just kind of annoying as far as like it'll bug his eyes or whatever. And then if you try to play like a DS game on it, it doesn't look as good as it would on a DS, which I always find kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, you got the tablets there, for example, the On Life service, which they actually just launched, you know, a little accessory. You can actually hook in your controllers to it now, which actually that was kind of interesting because I consider that an innovative way towards especially the casual / hardcore gamer market towards an iPad or a tablet. I think it's like Android tablets do it right now. I can't remember if it was like the iPad or the Android tablets, but either way, I was looking at it. It was interesting because of how OnLive brought this to the table. I mean, even if they don't do commercially excellent in like a console meets computer market, they would do a phenomenal thing in the Android market, hands down, as well as any handheld market. Because they pretty much brought this controller, this gamepad. It looks like a 360 had sex with like a bastard child wife or a bipolar wife, which was the, in this case, the PS3. And they just banged the shit out of each other. It came out with this cool looking little controller. It's like black and orange and everything. It looks like a Halloween hybrid of some third-party Nerf controller. And, you know, you look at it like, oh, this looks cool. And you, it's just the service on the tablet, I heard, is really good. It's synchronized. It's like no lag whatsoever. So, you know, I mean, that's a big step towards hardcore gaming slash casual gaming, too, because there's a lot of mixed games on there. Like, you know, you have the Just Cause 2, which is, you know, a sandbox juggernaut of a game. You got, like, shooters on there, so... I don't know, I mean, if you have a 3G tablet or so, it's Android, you could probably play the service on the go. Even though I wouldn't quite do that, because, you know, a lot of people just, like, gangbang you for the damn thing. But even, like, these Poindexters are going, hey, I see that's a tablet there. Give me your money and your tablet and your virginity. Like, what? How'd you know I have a virginity? I can smell your blood and your fear.
Because I am one too. I must bond. Robot.
Sword fight, lightsabers. Oh.
Oh my gosh, I'm telling you, Naruto is so much better than Blades. Oh my god.
Nerd Wars.
I'm looking at pictures of the controller that you're talking about, and it looks like a really weird controller, but it's definitely an interesting concept for a tablet. It looks like it's both iOS and the Android, though. That's kind of cool.
There was something else I saw, too. I can't remember where I saw this video, but someone showed me this. There was this tablet that they were showing off at CES. And on the side, it kind of looks like two, like a nunchuck on each side. One has kind of like a D-pad and a stick. The other one has buttons and a stick and shoulder buttons. And that's like on each side of the tablet. It was like a controller, and they were like playing PC games on it and stuff. And I thought that was kind of interesting. So
you're talking about the Razer tablet.
Is that it?
Yeah, you're talking about the Razer tablet. That looks awesome. The idea behind it is amazing, but the price point is insane. It's like $800. It's very close to like the 1,000 market.
Yeah, even though it eventually comes out. That stuff eventually comes out fine.
Yeah, like even though it's still not technically out, like from price points that they were discussing, it's like going to be really high up there. So that's going to be catered to like an exclusive set of people. And like I've seen it, I've seen pictures of it. And, like I was reading about it like crazy when CES was happening, and it looks awesome. Like, I definitely like that.
So, what do you guys think? Do you think that stuff like that, like, what he was talking about on live, of course, I would think that'd be kind of awkward because, like, you know, you got the controller and the pad, you know, you'd have to set the pad up somewhere, or, you know, of course, I would think if you're going to, like, set the pad up and play it like an actual console, I'd play it on TV, obviously, but I guess, like, do you think that you think tablets are going to try to become handhelds? Do you think they're actually going to try add buttons and try to get those hardcore consumers in? Or what do you think they would need to do to try to convince people, like, you don't want this, like, 3DS. You want to play on this tablet with all these cool laser lights and buttons and shit.
I think that that at least as far as peripherals go, you're going to see a lot of peripherals coming out for gaming on a tablet. I don't know how much integration there's going to be from the tablet right off the bat, simply because the big appeal to a tablet is kind of like that sleek design that they're all doing now. But I can see a lot of peripherals coming out. I don't know how well it'll do. I'm sure it'll be good for a lot of people. A lot of people will want it, but ultimately I'm not sure how well that's going
to do. But what about first party? Because, you know, like if Apple was to do it, Apple would have to make it themselves and they could integrate it and developers can make it. As with the third party, they're going to have to try to get more contracts and stuff like that. I think, you know, if it was a third party add-on, opposed to as if Apple or Android, iOS supported it, stuff like that, I would think that if it was a third party, it probably wouldn't be as widely adopted. Did I lose anybody?
Yes, you lost. Lost me in translation.
Did anybody hear me okay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, do I need to repeat?
Yeah, because I kind of lagged out a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, me too.
All right. I was going to ask, like, you know, I would think that would have to be a first-party peripheral compared to, like, a third-party, because a third-party, I think it would be a lot harder for a third-party to get the kind of support from all the developers as it would be, like, if Apple or if Google put in their Android system, like, how to make these things work with, like, any app. What do you think?
Well, I mean, again, it's not too challenging, I think, for most third party, because, again, first party never truly gives every little detail that specs away to third party, because of fear of future competition, as well as these people might actually take the device on a, and flip it on upside its head and just be like, all right, yeah, let's do this, 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 and pretty much make an exact tablet and charge for cheaper and pretty much put them out of business. But no, I'm kidding. Anyway, it's the fact that, you know, it isn't too challenging. It's quite, I think it would not be overly saturated to be able to do that because, again, it's something that requires a little bit of essence, but once you get it down, it's going to work out quite well.
Jose?
Again, like I said earlier, I just can't see how many first parties will actually try to go through this. I definitely think that peripherals are going to be a big thing for it, but as far as, like, the first parties, I don't know how much they're going to try to get into this.
Like, they're pretty much happy you think where they got, like, you know.
Yeah, I think they're happy for what they have because it's, again, a big thing with the tablet is that sleek design. It's not bulky. There's not a lot of stuff to it. The tablets are just meant to appeal to everyone so that they can do whatever they want, web browsing, casual gaming, reading books or whatever. But I can't see them trying to, like, push out from the boundaries of what there is now. Unless it's aimed specifically at gamers, like the Razer tablet is, I don't think that many people are going to try to go that route.
All right, now let's think. Let's think probably a few years down the road when Vita and 3DS have started to lose steam. We're all at this again. Where do we think that the future of these, like the actual future, do we think? Like I know we talked about, we don't think that it's completely the end of everything, but where do you think it would go next? Where do you think that these consoles will take us, like, what would the next handhelds be like? What will they do? How integration will be? Dan, what do you think?
Integration and masturbation. I have no opinion.
No opinion.
I'm all for masturbation, but as far as...
Circle.
Oh, down.
With Mr. Clean involved.
Somebody's gonna
dance down, I'm in.
As
far as what's going to be offered, I think that what Sony is doing now with the Vita as far as trying to add that online capability to a portable system, I definitely think that that's going to go that route. I think that that's a great thing that they took from mobile gaming as far as like tablets and phones go. I'm glad that they're trying to integrate an online mode into it so you can like do multiplayer with other people and not have to be local. So you're definitely going to see that, and that's going to be a big part of any of the future consoles that come out. I mean, even Nintendo's done it with the 3DS, but I think that we're going to see it to a bigger capacity.
My thoughts on it is that I think, like I said, it's still going to go on, but I think that they're going to have to change the way they do some things. Like, I think as far as pricing goes, I think they're going to have to learn to expect not to sell as many games as they have been. Like in the past, like of course, you know, we talked about the DS and stuff. I think that this generation will teach them that they've got to focus on their audience. I think it's no longer about expanding the casuals because I think the casuals aren't going to go drop 250 or even, I would even think, like 160 or 170 on the 3DS. They're going to, you know, get an iPad so they can do all the stuff they want to do, listen to their music, read, all that stuff, and then, you know, have a couple games here and there, like some puzzles or Angry Birds or whatnot. And I think you'll see that, you know, you may not see as many games come out for these handhelds, and that they'll still be there, there'll still be an audience, but they cannot expect the same amount of money as they have been in past generations. To me, that's what I think. I think they'll still get, you know, as technology goes on, these things will, you know, of course, drop in price. And, you know, I don't know if Sony's ready to go ahead and drop the Vita price anytime soon like 3DS did. But, I mean, it could be possible, but, you know, of course, Sony can afford to take a hit like that. I mean, they did with the PS3, obviously. I just think that the next generation, or this, you know, this will teach them that, you know, with these handhelds that, you know, that there's not going to be as much of a casual market. There's going to be more of a general gamer or hardcore gamer market. You know, people that want to play these buttons with traditional controls, you know, and, you know, have some neat, interesting features. I think they're going to try to become more tablet-like, but, you know, we'll have to see as far as that future goes. And maybe, you know, we'll have hologram circle jerks.
Well,
those will be great podcasts.
They would be. The only thing the viewers and listeners would be hearing is... That's all they'd be hearing, like, for 10 minutes
straight.
That's
what we're about. We're all about dick jokes.
Exactly.
Random offensive things.
Exactly. When it comes to these, like, all these competitors going off against each other, this is the number one thing I see they're doing wrong. They're not thinking about the future. They're thinking about what the other guy's doing. I understand competition is what sells the best unit at the end of the day, but when it comes to consoles and touch interface, when it comes to games such as like the Nintendo 3DS and the 360 and the PS3 and whatever maybe in the future what Microsoft might come out with for a handheld gaming device, which, you know, the Zoom didn't really do that great. It's doing okay, I guess. Anyway, it's the fact that these guys always worry about this, you know, competing with Apple. Honestly, I think Apple is a dangerous foe when it comes to the handheld market. They are dominant in the handheld market when it comes to PC gaming and all that. However, they're gonna trailblaze just running behind any other personal computer. Nothing against Apple at all, but, you know, when it comes to their stuff, it doesn't truly interest me. I think they're very innovative. I think they have a great simplicity behind them. They interest a lot of people who drink Starbucks, for sure. But at the end of the day, who here is honestly gonna buy one of these devices just because, you know, all these cheap games are on it? No one is. I'm not. I don't care how cheap they are. I mean, I can play Angry Birds on Google Chrome for fuck's sake and enjoy it for free. Just like, you know, on any Android tablet from Verizon or wherever else. Any brick and mortar, wherever the orifice that these little devices come from. But at the end of the day, I glance at the future as this. These companies are going to try to force out these ideas so much and try to recycle so many ideas. Eventually, the handheld market, it's going to deplete to the point that we're going to all be talking to each other through cell phones, because that's going to be the newest, latest game, is pen-palling, because the fact that everyone's going to end up having his new little handheld devices from Sony. It's called the PlayStation Talk to Your Fucking Wife for 14 fucking minutes game. And it's gonna have a bunch of extra DLC, which is child support, paying the mortgage. It's gonna have all that installed, pre-installed, might I add. So you only have to pay $95 per item, as well as the inequity towards, you know, the last DLC that comes out, which is spelt out if you look at the end. Fear your fucking, for your fucking life.
You know, I have to say about those games you were talking about the child support and everything else, it doesn't seem to appeal to bums as much.
No. Most people who live off the SSI, who claim fake diseases and all that, they're not gonna see no point to it. But those who actually gonna look at these devices in the future, it's just gonna become way too much of a gimmick. Where people now are just more bright, more intelligent. There's so much advertisement. There's so much less blatant, you know, cover-ups of this advertisement, that you're just going to look at all of it and go, fuck, man. And you're just going to, you know, stick to a simple phone in the future, because it's just going to turn into that. People are just going to get sick and tired of paying all this extra money to have fun, to enjoy the newest and greatest things. Yes, you know, the iPad might be affordable to some, but it isn't affordable to everybody, and this is the routes it's going to go into. All these consoles, all these handhelds are going to throw these extra little ideas, these little bells and whistles on top of these little devices, and they're going to become way too expensive for the consumer to afford. And you know what's going to happen to all these people who are manufacturing it, such as Nintendo, which is taking a big gash at the moment for the 3DSs, for everyone sold? They lose a little bit of money from it. Because that's what's happening with the 3DS. They're losing so much money, if you look at it, from the device. I mean, even if the PS Vita sells for $149, they gain $50. That's not too bad. However, though, if you look at it again, look what they're totally doing. $50 billion. I'm gonna say $50 billion because it sounds big. But no, that's actually, it's 50 something. I can't remember the exact, the margin line. But, you know, they're just forcing so much out just to try to sell this to us. Look at it. It's $300 for a goddamn device. And if you look at that, it's like, why in the future would I ever want to pay even more past that margin line? I understand that technology like that's going to get a little bit outdated, older, and it's going to become cheaper to manufacture. But now it's just, I couldn't afford that even if I wanted to. And that's, it's just, you think of these other people who try to buy this shit, and they sell, like, their souls, all the things they actually enjoy in life, just to get these devices. Just because they think it's what they want. And that's how these advertisements make you think how you want it, and it's sad. I mean, yes, some of these devices can be fun. They can be great if you can look past a couple things. And that's how it is. You know? But again, I digress. I mean, I'm kind of activizing over here, and that's really not my nature, but it's just, I'm looking at it in the big picture, and it's just, you know, all these devices are just overpriced. Fuck!
They get pretty expensive, I mean, but I don't know, like, it's not as bad as, like, an iPad or anything else. I mean, these things are ridiculous, but the thing is, people will pay for them. But let's go ahead and get this kind of segment wrapped up so we can get to our community segment, and, everybody can, you know, get back to their favorite hobbies, like jerking and cleaning and Marshmallow Men. But, yeah, let's go ahead and wrap up. Jose, your final thoughts on this topic.
Again, as I said earlier, I don't think that this is the end of portable gaming and handheld gaming. I think there's still going to be a future. It's still up in the air as how this future is going to go. But I can't wait to see how this all plays out. I definitely think that in the long run, Sony has a winner with the Vita, even if at first it's not going to be there, because as Dan Van Dam was mentioning, it's very expensive. No, not a lot of people are going to want to put up that money for it right now, but later on, I definitely think that there's going to be some success to it. And again, I want to see what happens with the portable market. I want to see what happens with these games and what the future will bring. I definitely want to see what Nintendo's going to bring out after this, if they're going to continue to push the 3DS or if they're going to try to push something else.
Cool. And Dan.
My nipples are so hard right now.
You want to end it with that?
Yes.
Okay. I guess all I have to say is that I think handhelds are still going to be around just as much as physical media has. Just saying. Anyways, let's go ahead and move on to our community segment. This is where we spotlight people that we think deserve a little attention. Gaming blogs, YouTube channels, podcasts, whatever. Dan, do you have anybody you want to highlight? Anybody you want to shout out or whatever?
Well, there's one gentleman at the moment that I'm actually thinking about, and that is, and he looks great in a Speedo. No. It's actually Dalma Monster, the Dalma Monster. I'll provide you the correct link to his channel. And I want to shout this guy out because, yes, he has a good success so far with his channel. I think he deserves a lot more what he has right now. He does a lot of mod reviews. He does, you know, he does a lot of retro stuff, like for video content anyway. Like he'll mod like a Sega or a Mega Drive in his area because he's from New Zealand. And he mods these consoles. He does such an awesome, awesome job. I mean, he is on par with Thomas. If you remember, he's a gentleman from the States. But, you know, New Zealand-wise, you know, he is just, you know, a marvel to watch repair things. It's always nice to watch him. I actually discovered him from Cyanide Breathnance up on YouTube. And, again, I was not unsatisfied that I didn't. And I was just overly saturated with this watching his content because it's just such great simplicity to how he does it. He just talks about it, shows you how to, you know, do some soldering work. It's just fun. I mean, even if you can't solder at all, you think it might be boring, just watching him talk about it, it's just interesting. It's just educational, formidable, and as well as that, it's just some of the mods he does is just top notch. And it just seeing what he can do with like region mods too is pretty cool. But, you know, that's the gentleman I want to recommend is the Dalma Monster up on YouTube.
Well, I'll have to check him out. You ought to put a link in the chat or something so I can look at it. Okay, Jose, who do you want to plug?
Well, last time I threw out a new game, new name as far as, like, online reviews and everything goes. And this time I'm going to throw out a really big name. That's going to be Penny Arcade and what they're doing with the Penny Arcade Report, which is basically their spin on video game journalism. And if you've been following them, or at least what they're doing with this, I think it's amazing. One of the things that they do, they're not, like, flooding you with an update, like, every minute with, like, any video game news that comes out. They're actually sticking to what's really important and what's really out there. And just from, if you go to, like, the actual site right now, they already have, like, three different interviews with people. And that's something I don't see a lot of as far as video game websites go. And I love interviews. I think that we should definitely be doing more of them. And they've already got like three up, and everything that they post up, it's amazing. They're also doing this section called The Cut, which is they're going to take an article that someone else wrote, and they're going to put it up on the site and go, hey, you should read this article because this, this, and this. And then they'll just go ahead and link the article. They're not going to paraphrase it. They're just going to tell you why the article is important and why you should go check it out. And that's like as far as any gaming journalism output goes, it doesn't matter where it's from as long as it's good reporting and it's good news. And I really commend them for that. I'm so glad that someone out there is going this route. Like, they're not pushing the constant updates, that they're going with what matters and what's really important, because sites like Kotaku and stuff like that, they'll just throw out any update that comes up.
Like, there was something Kotaku posted, and I was like, what does this guy do with video games? It was like, it's really sadistic. It's like this kid or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
I know that's what you're talking about. You don't.
He's playing games in Australia or something. These girls come and like they try to cough his pecker or something weird. It's like he was playing video games at the time. It's like, what the hell? That's not games.
Like, we didn't even mention him playing games. Like, all it started was he was at home, he was playing games, and that was like the first sentence of the whole article, and then the rest of the thing was just this ridiculous long story about how he got tortured, and it was painful to read. Like, you know, I understand that going up on a real journalism site like CNN or whatever, but I don't want to read that in my gaming blogs. Like, I play video games to get away from the real world, because I know the real world is fucked up, and I don't want to read that on a gaming site, you know? And it's just, I don't even know why they put that up. Like, it makes no sense.
Well, guess what, though? They have unlocked the achievement for being extreme douchebags. I wish I knew how to use a soundboard. All right.
Everyday we're shuffling.
Shuffle the cards. I want to shout out someone who I think deserves a few more views. And this guy, he, like, any video he does, he's relatively new. I don't know, Dan, if you've ever heard of him or not, but this guy's called Hello Comics. And I think he's from Spain, but he does a lot of retro reviews. He does a lot of talks about games and stuff. Like, he just did a pickup video. And the thing is with him is, like, it's ridiculous. He puts production quality into, like, everything, even the pickup videos, maybe, like, a quick play of a game. Like, it's like as if I'm watching a television show, like, the way he does everything. It is, like, ridiculous. And he's, like, a super uber-friendly guy to talk to. Like I said, just nice, down-to-earth. And I definitely, I think he's already reached just a little bit over 100 subscribers. So definitely look on YouTube for Hello Comics. Check this guy out. He's really nice, really great. And like I said, the production quality, it blows my freaking mind. It just blows my brain, the kind of quality it is. It's really like watching TV production. Like, that's how good it is.
It's Antonio Banderas.
Antonio Banderas, hey. Do you like tacos?
I like taco, dude. That's Mexico, man. Come on.
Jose, you're not correcting me here.
No, Spain would be churros.
Churros?
Churros.
Yes.
Churros.
I can do that. You gotta roll some clitoris tongue, and you're like,
give it away now. Oh, man. Chili peppers, circle jerking, some video game stuff here and there. This is what Shoulder Buttons Podcast is all about, right, guys?
Yeah, I couldn't be prouder at the moment.
For a family tear to my eye.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to do a mailbag segment, but I completely forgot to ask people questions. So, guys, if you are listening, go to our Twitters, either at Game Machine on Twitter, Game Machine TV, or Jose at A Vicious Koala. Just maybe tweet us your questions that way. Eventually, I think we should try to get something. Maybe we'll set a Gmail account or something up. Or
that'll probably be.
But yeah, let's go ahead and close this whole thing out. I want to thank Dan, my good friend, for joining us here. It's been a pleasure. It's been a hoot. I feel very disturbed and molested, and I really appreciate it. And tell our fine folks where they can be molested at.
Well, you know, if I want to bring up in sexual charges, I'll just go down to the gay heap. No, anyway. You can find me over on Twitter at the Dan Van Dam, or in this case, Dan Van Dam. I did the, I don't know why. And you can follow me on YouTube, mostly while I'm hanging out there. You know, I usually rub my nipples as hard as I can and, you know, puncture the skin somehow with the index of my finger. And as well as you can follow me, you know, generally, as I mentioned in the installment of the first part of this podcast. But anyway, yeah, that's where you can follow me. You can follow me on the Daily Gamepad. You can follow me in bed like some sort of creepy situation with candy, but we won't get into that. And if girls, if you're into that type of thing, if you're over 21, holler at your boy.
That's nice. Word up, dog. Word up. And Mr. Jose, where can people be touched by you?
People can be touched by me in Hollywood, California if they want to swing by.
No. I'm going to turn to you and put you in a film.
I'm going to take you up on that offer. I'll lay down like a mat.
I'm available for touching at any time. But you can also find me on Twitter at A Vicious Koala. I've been kind of away from Twitter over the last week because I'm trying to get everything kind of straightened out and trying to figure out my schedule these days. But I'm always on there. I'm always checking in. If I can, I reply whenever anyone says anything. So if you have any questions, you can always hit me up there. You can email me, aviciouskoala@gmail.com. Again, I check my email every day, so, you know, if you have any questions, you can always forward them to me.
Cool. And, of course, you also have your written content at,
wouldyoukindly.com. Yeah, if you want to read, the video game news that I do throughout the week, wouldyoukindly.com is the place to go. And then the next time our next podcast comes out, I should have my actual personal site up and running, and that'll be another venue, but I'm not going to say anything about that yet.
Top secret, just like Dan's podcast. Why don't you guys any tell me anything? I thought you guys trust me.
Shh. Whisper in the butt situation. Whisper in the butt.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I heard, what in the butt?
What?
Okay. What? What in the butt?
So this is turning into a circle jerk.
Homosexuality just overflowing into my gayness is just coming out now.
Gay had went from like 100% to like 1,000% in just like this 2-3 minutes of us. Anyways, if you need a little break from the molesting, just need a little cuddling, you can find me on Twitter at the Game Machine TV. You can also follow me on my YouTube and subscribe because I make videos and yeah, so. Go ahead and check out my YouTube, Transparency Pro, and of course, I make the Game Machine and all kinds of wonderful, fun, fantastic things. Like I said, this podcast, I think, is about done. So for me, Jose, and our wonderful guest, Dan Van Dam, game on and peace out.
Oh, man.